It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 83. I'm Josh Jansen.
And I'm Tommy Jacket.
I was on Instagram the other day looking...
Well, you spend 8 hours a day on it.
No, it's eight hours a week.
Oh, a week, sorry.
Anyway, I was doing a flick through Insta stories and I follow a guy, Chris. He's based out of Collingwood. Or anyway, I always would see him in Collingwood. And then he does a lot of like film photography type of shit. And he just does this post where he's got maybe like 20 like rolls of film, and it was just saying that he was going to North Korea.
As you do.
So I was like, obviously I've had a fascination of North Korea. You know, I've never really finished
You've got his full haircut book. You've got Kim's haircut.
I've got a bit of that vibe going on. But anyway, so I Instagrammed Chris and said, mate, we come on the podcast.
Slid in a DM.
Slid in his DMs, is that what they say?
And here he is.
And we've got Chris on the line now. You're in Beijing, is that right?
Yep.
Perfect. Have I fucked any of that story up, or does that sound pretty accurate?
That sounds, just about accurate, yeah.
Okay, great.
So before we get into the adventures of Chris... Mm-hmm. So are you based in Melbourne? And
I was. I'm actually moving to the UK after this trip.
Oh, awesome. So yeah, this is your like nomad time of just doing going wherever you want type of deal.
Yeah, a little bit. Having my quarter life crisis, just quit my job and traveling for a bit.
Perfect. I'm about to do that. I mean, feel like mine's slightly half-assed because it's got sort of like a 3 month, like I've contained it to 3 months and then I'm coming home.
Yeah, nice.
So how long have you been traveling so far?
Oh, just on 10 days now. I'm just in the beginning.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. Yeah, yeah. And so have you booked, how have you done your trip? Did you just book sort of a trip to the UK and had a few stops?
So once I got my visa all done, I just sort of decided the country I was going to, and I sort of planned it around the North Korea trip because... you have to go on a tour.
Yeah.
And so I found sort of the dates for the tour that I wanted to go on and sort of worked it around that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so North Korea, you... Mm-hmm. So what's the deal? How do you get in? How does it all happen? How do you just decide on a tour to go with?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, a friend of a friend... put up like a Facebook post saying that we're getting rid of all their shit, like to join in on a garage sale. And I got in on that and I met him, and his name is Matt. He's at Matt Kuleska, K-U-E-L-S-Z-A, I think, on Instagram. I was getting chatting to him and I'm like, oh, so where are you moving? He's like, oh, I'm moving off to Beijing. I've got a new job there. I'm like, yeah, cool. What are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm going to be a tour guide for North Korea. I was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, that's wild. And so we sort of became mates after that. And after following him on Insta and, like, seeing all these pics, I'm like, okay, this looks so, like, just so not what I thought it would be. And so I was just like, fuck it. Like, let's just go and see what it's like.
What did you think it was going to be, and what...
Well, I tried to avoid a lot of Googling about other travelers' experiences. I sort of wanted to go there with fresh eyes. And they give you like a little primer when you book the tour, like, you know, what to bring and sort of like etiquette and stuff like that.
When you say etiquette, what does etiquette mean? Like, I know what etiquette means, but as in, what's their fucking etiquette?
I guess the whole deal is that you have to be with your guide at all times. And so you can't just like go off and wander by yourself. You're always in a group or with a guide. So I thought it was going to be fairly restrictive, but they do let you like walk out of the streets and mingle with locals. But because it's like such an isolationist country, like the Koreans are quite shy. And like they see sort of foreigners about, and instead of being like a curiosity, like what the fuck, they're kind of just like, who is this person? I'm uncomfortable. But it was May Day when I went, so we got to like walk through the park where I guess it's kind of like, I mean, it's a bad analogy, but like, I guess kind of a bit like Christmas, where like it was just full of families having like barbecue and getting really day drunk. And they were getting loose and like they were just having a great time. Like we were walking through, they was like dancing with us, and like you just give them a drink and like you say cheers, which is like jokbae in North Korea, and they just like love it and go wild.
And what was your what was your friend's experience going into being like a tour guide? What did he tell you before you signed up?
So I didn't really ask him a lot, like apart from what I'd seen. Again, I sort of wanted to be a bit naive, I guess. But I had a bit of worries going in because I was taking in like over 100 rolls of film. And I was like, oh, I'm a bit worried about customs. Like, does that look a bit dodgy? You know, he's like, oh, mate, you're going to be pleasantly surprised by the customs there.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was. It was rushed and hectic, but it wasn't scary at all. Like, they took all our phones and electronic devices and then just, like, didn't even check them and gave them back to us.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's funny. When I told Tommy, I said about I saw the rolls of films. He's like, oh, what? They don't allow digital cameras? I'm like, no, Chris just loves fucking film photography.
Yeah. It's like... I remember seeing like these like those like articles. It's like cis photographers smuggle these photographs out of North Korea. Mm. But the fact is, like, you're allowed to take photographs there. They sort of let you wander around an area, and they've got like pretty basic rules, which I think are fairly reasonable. Kind of like don't photograph people of the military, because I mean you can't really do that anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's their biggest sort of no-no. I think the thing is there's like this military everywhere, like lots of just out and about, and it's like sort of military men that do construction and everything, so you can't really take photos of construction sites and stuff like that.
So it's a dictatorship, or it's a country under dictatorship. There's this guy who, I don't know if you know him, Michael Malice. He wrote this book called Dear Reader.
I don't.
The Unauthorized Autobiography of Kim Jong Il, and it's fascinating. I've been listening to a podcast he did, and it sort of gives you the breakdown of the family, you know, the grandpa
Kim Jong Il Sung,
yeah, and then his son Kim Jong Il, and then the current guy Kim Jong Un, it's fascinating. I'm not going to get into that, but this guy Michael Malice, he went there in 2012, which was like. Mm-hmm. The year after Kim Jong-il died.
Yeah.
And he was saying that these people in the country, as in the people who live there, like us in Australia, he was saying they're like hostages. We're not hostages here, but he was saying the people that live there are essentially hostages within a dictatorship. What I'm hearing is it doesn't sound like they're hostages. They're getting pissed in the park. That sounds like
maybe we're all fucking hostages in our own world. And we just don't realize it.
Yeah, I think it's your vibe kind of. I didn't get that vibe at all, because I mean they are allowed to travel to like China and other countries like that, and like from Pyongyang they can fly to Russia and China. But I think it's more that like within that society they're all sort of like. They're all sort of brought up.
They're all looking out at each other, right? Like they're all.
More like the figures of the party, like the Korean Workers' Party, the figures of Kim Il Sung and Kim Jong Il, and now Kim Jong Un. They're sort of deified. So it's not so much they're terrified of them. It's more that like it's this sort of like extreme sort of love and devotion.
Well, you know about what happened for people that weren't crying hard enough in the streets for Kim Jong Il. They got sentenced to 6 months jail.
I've heard that, but like I feel there's so many like unsubstantiated like claims. Like I think it's like I can't remember what the quote is, but like someone's just said like you can literally in the West print anything about North Korea, and stories, newspapers will run it, like media will run it because you can't fact check it. And I guess you can go and flick through a bunch of, like, sort of sensationalist stuff, like about that, like about the stupid story about Kim Jong-un, like scoring an impossible golf score or something like that.
Yeah.
And, like, there's no source for them. Like, it's literally some either from, like, a satire or a gossip site or from some sort of dodgy South Korean sort of news source. But, like... it is a weird country. Like it's just something. It's like stepping into, there's not a lot of things when you're there to place yourself in 2018. Like, yeah. A few people there have smartphones and stuff, but sort of like there's no ads anywhere, like at all. In the entire country, there are two ads. There was one in our hotel for like this sort of natural medicine product, and this one for a co-developed North and South Korean car, one billboard, like just outside of Pyongyang that I saw. Yeah, it's really weird. Like, you go to the metro and there's like no ads anywhere.
And did you, you were obviously part of a tour that had other people. What sort of nationalities were going to visit?
There was a few Australians. There was a few people from Norway, India, Switzerland, Germany.
Because the US can't go there, can they now? Or can
So the tour company that I went with, they don't take US citizens anymore after the last after I forget his name, but Otto someone, after that sort of incident. Yeah. There was a few Canadians, plenty of Canadians. But yeah, it was a real mix.
And what was the tour like? Like how legit did it feel? Did it feel like you were safe? What sort of preparation did they give you?
Oh yeah, I mean, totally safe. In terms of personal safety and like stuff like that, yeah. Like so, you have your two or your one sort of guide by from the company. So I had that guy Matt, and then you have two Korean guides, and they're like lovely. They'll tell you just like, they'll be like introduce themselves and like sort of tell you about things, but also just kind of like they'll like drink with you like in the evenings, and like yeah, you can just like chat to them and stuff, and like yeah, they'll just be like, they'll tell you like, you know, like, oh please don't take photos here, you know, just be careful, if, you know, and stuff like that. Like they're there to make sure you have a nice time.
Were there any troublemakers in the tour group?
Not really. Like there was a couple of rowdy ones who just got a bit drunk on the bus off like the cheap soju. But like, nah, not really. I think everyone sort of like, if you're the kind of person that goes to North Korea, you're not going to be the kind of idiot that fuck around, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're not an idiot and you don't fuck around is what I'm hearing.
I am an idiot and I do fuck around, but just not there.
Actually, you're an Aussie moving to London. You're going to be a pisshead at the pub any minute. Did you see, was there like photos of Kim Jong-un around or?
Yeah, everywhere, yeah.
When you say everywhere, what do you mean? Like on what?
It's actually less, it's less Kim Jong-un, it's more Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. So the statues, large sort of bronze statues of them in every sort of major city. The biggest ones are in Pyongyang and they're huge. They're, I feel like 20 meters tall or something. They're huge.
Just very quickly, Chris, are you on headphones by any chance?
I am.
Is it possible to unplug and just go directly on the phone? I reckon that could be way clearer potentially.
Oh, okay. One second.
Thanks, man.
Okay, I am unplugged.
Yeah, I think that's better. Yeah, thanks, man.
So they're just what, these statues are just in squares. Like, what's the vibe what's the kind of suburbs like, or is it like just city?
So Pyongyang is beautiful. Like, I didn't know it would be like that going in there. Like, Pyongyang was just a really aesthetically beautiful city. Like, spotless, absolutely spotless, and just like lots of really bright pastel. Like buildings and stuff, and also just some really weird buildings. They've got like this sign center that's shaped like, and like, you know, those like high school diagrams of an atom. They've got this huge.
Tommy
science...
doesn't, because I don't think he ever made it to high school. what's high school?
They've got like one of the islands on the Taedong River. They've got like this huge building shaped like that. Their science center that. Yeah, so Pyongyang is like really beautiful and like lots of big public spaces, like really, and a lot of them are dedicated to lots of monuments. Like every block, there's like sort of monument. Like there's the Reunification Monument. There's like the Juche Tower. That's sort of like the ideology like the Kim Il-sung sort of came up with. And then there's the huge, you know, huge like statues. Yeah, there's just like monuments everywhere.
And did you get, so you've been posting on social media that you went. What's been the feedback of your social media followers? Has there been criticism? What is it? What does your family think about you going? What's been the response there?
The response has been more just been like, oh my God, show us photos. And then when like I've sent some pictures through, they've been like, what the hell? That is not what we thought it would be. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay. The image we get like sort of of North Korea, the West is sort of like this really miserable, grim place. But I think we forget that like even if the political side of it is, you know, quite grim and dark, there's still like millions of people there living their daily lives, you know, is still making the best of whatever this pitch is. But yeah, it was like, I mean, I went on a big public holiday, so I thought like a pretty nice vibe to TBH.
Yeah.
Just 20 million people living in North Korea. And the, I mean, the reality is, maybe the reality of what you're seeing isn't what the feeling of what it's there or how it's portrayed.
Well, Pyongyang is a specific area of North Korea, and I guess the people who would speak negatively towards North Korea would cite that fact, which is Pyongyang is an area where you know, wealthy people or people who have been sort of who are very high up on the ladder. A living.
I mean, the place doesn't even have the internet. They've got like under 20 websites on the intranet. Like, yeah, I mean, that's the reality of their world, right? Yeah. So, like a dictatorship.
It's very cut off. Like, it's very. Yeah. And like, when you see the countryside, and the countryside's completely sort of like, in contrast to like Pyongyang, it's really. Like pre-industrialized, like sort of agrarian society, and I guess that's sort of like I just think people forget it's a developing country.
Yeah.
Like it is a developing country. Like it's just
like other parts of Asia, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's it. It's another developing country, in Asia, and it's like in the farmland they're using you know sort of manual ox plows and lots of manual labor, sort of very little industrial. Stuff going on there. I can't speak Korean. I couldn't really chat to.
I mean, imagine Malcolm Turnbull, president of Australia.
Darling at high school.
What's his name? What is he?
Prime Minister.
Prime Minister of Australia. Imagine him killing his brother. Or having his brother killed.
It's probably not ideal.
Which is essentially what Kim Jong-un did.
And there are, I guess, a few of the, like a lot of cases, even sort of.
I think it's hard for us to imagine what it's like as a North Korean, just because if you've grown up in that sort of in their closed off world, like they really love and adore their leaders with a sort of like, I guess like the closest thing you can think of is like a religious fervor. And like that sort of reverence, like the reverence that you'd have for and respect that you have for like people's sort of like religious beliefs and stuff like that. It's kind of like how they feel about their leaders.
So being so disconnected, what was it like? Because you're someone who's pretty connected on social media and things like that. So you spent a few days not being connected to the internet. What was that like?
At the start, it was weird because I kept pulling my phone out and... like you have the muscle memory where your thumb goes to the app automatically. you know, when like, yeah. And you just like, I just myself opening my phone, unlocking it mindlessly.
Yeah.
And then like, obviously it wouldn't load. But then after a few days, it's just like, it's actually really nice. Like you just sort of like, yeah, it was really nice. And, I think I made a post. I was like, I loathe the term digital detox as if it's like a toxin in our body.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, I love the internet. I love the things that brought me in, like, but it was really, really nice. And also, I found myself going to bed, like, immediately and not dicking around on my phone for an hour and also just, like, waking up and being ready in, like, 20 minutes because I'm not just, like, lying there. like app switching.
Interesting. It's like when you're on a plane, I end up just going through my photos and deleting them and looking around on the plane. Everyone else is doing the same because they got no Wi-Fi. But did you actually, you know, like people are walking around Melbourne with it or anywhere in the world that allows you to be connected on their mobile phones. So that's just not happening there. Are people on looking down?
They're looking up and around. They're just sort of like, there's a lot of just hanging out in public spaces, just chatting. Well, a lot of smoking is still quite, you know, a thing there. So, yeah, a lot of people just like standing around having a cig. Yeah, it's just like lots of, I guess public life is kind of like a lot of places in Southeast Asia, you know, public life is really different to how it is in Australia. It was like sort of heads up and, people just going about their biz.
So was there
It was really strange coming back to China and everyone has a smartphone here and then seeing everyone sort of burying them again.
Was there any big brands that you could see, like stores that sell big brands?
We got to go to a sort of department store, like a big supermarket essentially. And we weren't allowed to take photos in there because they did have products that they're not supposed to have on account of sanctions and stuff like that.
Oh, interesting.
Naughty.
And is there a sense that when you're going in, do they tell you you can't talk about this after it? Were there any sort of...
None of that. Whatever you saw, you could talk about, really.
Yeah.
Our Aussie guide would like sort of advise us to, like, if you really want to, like, ask them, like, you know, the hard-hitting sort of abrupt question. Of our guides, like, do that, but build up a rapport with them first, as you would with anyone, really, if you want to ask them some sort of, like, pretty confronting questions. But our guides were pretty good about it. We had a guy named, because there was a few different groups, like, that were sort of, like, amalgamated and sort of, like, split off who were going, because some were longer tours than others. But Mr. Lee was like, feel free to ask me questions. If you want to ask any abrupt questions, I'm happy to answer them. I've heard them all.
Any graffiti anywhere?
Not that I saw, no. No, I have read about sort of distance graffiti and defacing things, but I didn't see any, no.
And so what was the tour company called again that you went with?
They're called Young Pioneer Tours.
Yeah. I feel like I remember seeing an article about these guys. So these are the ones that do some pretty quirky locations. So they go Afghanistan, Iraq, some of the most dangerous places in the world.
I think their tagline is places will take you to places that your mother would want you to go or something like that.
Yeah. What was it like? What was that company like? And would having experienced this tour in North Korea, would you ever go to somewhere like Afghanistan or Iraq? And was there even sort of talk within the group of people who had done those tours?
So I think that sort of tour attracts sort of people who are just a bit more, you know, like sort of weird holidays. But a few people there had done like sort of odd places. Yeah. I met a bloke there who did an 18,000-kilometer road trip from Sweden to Istanbul and then all across Central Asia through Iran, Turkmenistan, and Estonia and stuff like that. And Turkmenistan is one of the places Young Pioneer offers because they have like super crazy border control. A lot of people there have just done odd holidays. I mean, I'm going to Kazakhstan after this, so.
Yeah, what are you expecting from Kazakhstan? What are they known for?
Oh look, I just find Central Asia a bit fascinating, and I sort of like love the landscape as well.
And you love the movie Borat, and you thought,
I was like, why not? Why not?
Tommy's pulling from every part of his geographical knowledge.
Yeah, well, I only know what's been in a movie before.
Yeah, you know more than I do anyway. And Chris, so how long are you going to be traveling for? Like, what's the plans once you get to the UK?
7 weeks in total.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've got a few weeks in China. I'm going up to the Mongolian border some little towns up there. And then after that, to Kazakhstan for a few weeks. And I was like thinking about a side trip to Kyrgyzstan because you don't need a visa for that.
What are they known for? What do they do?
I don't know, just another sort of, I don't know much about them. I haven't Googled yet. I was sort of just going to gauge it when I was in Kazakhstan. You know, if I if there was a lot to see, I would stay there. And if not, I'd take a little bus to Bishkek. And then from there, I'm going to Istanbul for a week. Sort of finishing off in a nice place. And then, you know, going to the UK.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's interesting that, I mean, not everyone's deciding to do this kind of stuff. Did you did you have to pay a higher insurance? Like, you know how you're getting travel insurance, is it?
Oh, like travel insurance, yeah. So funny about that, none of the travel insurance companies would cover me. And even like the Young Pioneer have a link to like their partner ones, like the insure everyone, and they wouldn't cover North Korea. But then on the day we're leaving for North Korea, they had like a little information session before we all left. Where we all met each other and stuff, but you could buy travel insurance there, like on the spot. So I just did that, and I think it was like €40 for 5 days.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. It just covers all like the basic sort of stuff, you know.
Describe the feeling, like, you know, what were the different emotions that you felt while in North Korea, from when you're on the plane to landing? What was the
monologue? I actually caught a train in.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was an overnight train from Beijing. Yeah, it was odd, because like when you catch the, because of the public holiday, we had to catch a bus over the bridge rather than take the train. And it was weird. So like we're driving the bus over this bridge, we're going over this river, and then Matt was like, and hit a point. He's like, yep, now we're in the DPRK. And you get to the other side, you know, it just seems like the other side of a river. I guess, yeah, you feel like a bit of, you really feel like a fish out of water, I guess, because like culturally it is so different. It's sort of quite, at least like when you're coming from somewhere like China and coming from living in Australia, you're so used to like people looking like and dressing really differently. You go there and like the fashion's quite homogenous. So the majority of men wear like the sort of tailored, do you remember like the tracksuits that Kim Jong Il used to wear?
Yeah,
like those two-piece tracksuits, like them, or like the Mao suits, like sort of North Korean style tailored suits. So that's sort of like standard wear, and doesn't really deviate much outside of that unless they're kids. So yeah, that was really different. And then like just realizing like you really stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah.
Do they stamp your passport?
No, they give you a little tourist visa that's got a little stamp on it, and then at the end of it they stamp that on your exit and take it from you, and then just give you your passport back. So no stamps in your passport.
Yeah. So if I want to go to North Korea tomorrow, What like how much am I going to have to pay to go for a 4 day tour, or a 5 day tour, or whatever?
A 5 day tour, I think from memory, it was about €1,200, which is I think like about $1,800 Australian, roughly. But that covers all your transport, like accommodation, food. It pretty much covers everything but a little cost, like if you want to buy extra drinks and snacks, or like flowers to lay the statue, and some tips for your guides. But yeah, it's pretty much all inclusive.
I mean, $1,800, that's enough for them to put on a show, get a bunch of actors and make it look like it's all fucking legit over that side of town.
Get that vibe at all?
Not at all. Like it would be just be so much effort. Like it's kind of I think when you, if you ever go there, like you'll kind of realize how sort of absurd the notion of like getting actors for like a metro is, because like it's just so.
Have you been to Sovereign Hill? They do.
Definitely. I mean, they've got that down pat. $50 entry.
Yeah, I know. So you think it's a bit absurd?
I do think like the sort of claim, like I can imagine like sort of some things are just, you know, a bit like put on, yeah, like I've just when people claim is like, you know, people don't actually use the trains or something like that, but it's like there's clearly people on the train, like riding the trains, like going to wherever they're going.
So you reckon people have got it wrong? Like, I mean, you're a dude who's been there now. Is it wrong how it's portrayed?
I'm not sure it's wrong. I think it's just skewed. And I think it's just so fun to just like speculate and like you hear wild and wacky shit about it, and the wildness just seems to increase without any sort of, because you can't fact check it, like you just can't. So yeah, I think it just sort of runs a bit rampant. Again, people have this notion that it's super hard to like get in there, but it's actually really easy. Like you book the tour, you fill out your little visa form, and you're there.
And what's your view of North Korea?
I really liked it. It was just like nothing. It's like nowhere else on Earth. It's just so bizarre. And Pyongyang is beautiful. Like it's so beautiful. I really enjoyed it. And I think if like anyone has sort of like the sort of curiosity to go there and you have the means, I would definitely recommend it.
Did you, I was just thinking, because I always like to try McDonald's everywhere I go around the world. Was there a Macca's?
No, there's
No
no Macca's
Macca's.
at all.
Well, fucking
But there
sucked in
is.
North Korea.
You're a veggie, aren't you, Chris?
I am a veggie. I am a veggie.
So would you
what did
pick this
you?
up from the posts, from his Insta, did you, Josh?
Yeah, I'm all over it.
All right.
So do you? What's the what was the food like? How
It was
accommodating
really
were
good.
they for you?
The tour sort of company took care of it all, and every restaurant they go to, they understand the like,
They probably fucking loved it. You're probably a cheap feed. They're like, shit, fucking protein. Like, beef's expensive.
It was really like one restaurant we went to, dog soup was an option. A few people had some dog soup,
Well.
and yeah, no, it was lovely. Like it was lots of cold pickles and noodles, lots of like rice and tofu, and like really, I hadn't sort of chewed like spiced and flavored like that before. It was really lovely. It was really nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I just can't help but think, like, I mean, people are looking at a dictatorship and they think maybe there is some things that they've got right here. It's not like it's a good system, but they no, there is people that look at it and go, like the whole,
Bit of order, bit of
yeah, the
I just
order
think
and just.
people sort of conflating, a poor political system with, a poor standard of living or something like that. But I mean, there was famines in the 90s and stuff like that, but like, yeah, it's a,
And there was
like
a time
no
when,
shortage of food or anything, yeah.
and there was a time where North Korea was sort of economically doing really well, even compared to the South. And so I guess.
Just after the war, North Korea was far, outpacing South Korea. And yeah, so sort of after the USSR collapsed, and the sort of North Korea lost a lot of its,
Funding and things like that.
yeah, lost a lot of its less trade and all that, and it sort of stagnated. Whereas, yeah.
And so the tour guides and talking to different people, were they saying, were they commenting on this, the peninsula, sorry, the Korean Peninsula summit and all that sort of thing? Was
Yeah,
there?
it was like sort of all over the news there. And yeah, I mean, they were like sort of having some sort of deep chats with the other guides, with the Korean guides who were talking to our guides, talking about like, sort of reunification and the talks and everything. Sort of like, it was a very sort of, really like sort of hopeful sort of like kind of chats. And yeah.
Cries for help. It could have been seen as
isn't it?
help us, help us. We're in a dictatorship. Get us
I
out of
don't think
there.
people. I reckon it's
I
really
think
interesting. It's hard.
they're quite proud. The Koreans that we met, like they're quite proud of, their city and their achievements and everything. So it's, I think it's less more of a cry. It's more a bit like, yeah. I don't think they see themselves as sort of like, how
They're
like
not
in the meme sort
trapped.
of ways, like North Korea, like turning to reunification as the Bible. I think they're seeing it as more like, yeah, let's do this, like, other than being like, oh my God, please help us. But then again, like I said, like this is just my vibe that I got as someone who went there for a few days. So obviously,
But maybe it
grain of
is,
salt, all
like
that.
people who were there, they don't know any different. It's only until you know how different it can be for yourself.
Well, it's like employees, versus being self-employed, right? Like sometimes we can be like, fuck, how do you do it? Like, how how do people work for other people, could never do, like,
never go back.
You could never go back. But the thing is that it's like some people just fucking love it. Some people like having direction and clear order and all of that sort of shit.
I mean, I like the comparison to people who work for somebody as being and under a dictatorship.
same. Anything else crazy, Chris, that you think that you know you would like to share, or you think it would be interesting?
We're wrapping you up.
wrapping the whole. But you need to get the exciting shit out.
I just think the biggest the biggest sort of shock to me was like on May Day, going through the park and just like really like day drunk locals just like dancing with them, like getting loose with them, was like really weird. And yeah, like we learned a North Korean pop song and you bust that out and they would like just like love you and just like have like love heart eyes emojis.
And did they know anything about Australia?
We didn't ask because like I can't speak Korean. But it's mostly just like, you know, having a dance and being like, thank you, and like just like having cheers.
And from a sleeping arrangement point of view, did you sleep in the hotel that's sort of in that middle of the island thing?
Yes. That is, that's where we stayed. It's a weird hotel.
Yeah. What was the vibe of the hotel? Yeah. Give us a bit of insight.
It's so opulent. It's like all design elements at the same time. It's sort of this like really 80s chic at some points, but then like really 60s, like mid-century modern. It's just weird, like just so weird, like beautiful. Like if you're into that sort of hotel aesthetic,
it's sort of Best Western vibes.
But low key luxurious. It was really bizarre.
Okay, luxurious. Do they have? Out of curiosity, did you look? Are they on like TripAdvisor? People leaving reviews?
Oh, the Yangakdo Hotel.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know
if it's on there. And did you get a sense? I know that people talk about things being all wired up so that, you know, you are basically being listened to all the time, surveillance. Any interesting little quirks like that that you noticed?
Look, not really. We kind of joked about it in the room. Like, the person I was rooming with, I was kind of like, we're just joking about, like, we just assume we're being watched.
Yeah.
It's just like a really sort of like weird daggy 80s hotel, but like really beautiful. I didn't sort of get that vibe. Yeah. Really.
And one other thing that just came to mind about the all the nuclear testing and stuff like that. It's pretty far away from Pyongyang, right? But was there any concern of, or did they mention
I mean, a few, like, when we went to a few sort of monuments and sites, the tour guide, I just remember being, like, mentioning something about, like, you know, under Kim Jong-un's, like, under the leader, they say great leader or, like, leader, Kim Jong-un's, like, leadership, now we have, the world's longest range ballistic missile, to protect ourselves from, American aggressors and stuff like that. And that was sort of like the first sort of explicit mention of nuclear weapons. But then we went to the DMZ, there was like lots of those, they got those really, like hand-painted propaganda posters that like, they were full of sort of like, missiles and stuff. And I was like crushing the US and really anti-American stuff. It was,
crazy. Yeah. Mm. And where can people find, if they want to see the photos that you took, when you were there?
My Instagram is just at Chris Moses.
Yeah.
If you also like to see my tour guide that I mentioned, Matt, I love his feed. He's at Matt Kulesa, KUELESZA, and also Young Pioneer Tours, which I think is just at Young Pioneer. They're pretty good as well.
Yeah, awesome.
From there you can just sort of like the similar accounts as if you like North Korea every day and stuff like that, which is just sort of like photos of everyday North Koreans.
I just gave you a follow, Chris. Give us a follow back, right, bro?
Follow for... We're doing a follow for follow. I'm so sorry, Chris.
Every guest I get on, it's one new follower. Like for like,
fucking hell.
What was that old MySpace one?
Yeah,
was a comic
PC book. For PC. Who was that too?
That's it. Yeah. Picture comic.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
awesome,
it.
Mate. Dude,
thanks
so
much for
the chat.
When you're back in Melbourne, we'll have to
catch
up.
He's off to the fucking UK. He's not coming back.
You said 7 weeks.
No, 7 weeks and then he's moving to the UK. You're moving to the UK,
yeah?
Have you got any plans yet? Fuck, awesome. What's the plan?
I don't know. Just see how it goes, I guess.
Amazing. So good. Thanks so much for being on the Daily Talk Show, and good luck with the rest of the trip. Awesome.
All
thanks,
right,
mate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Interesting, yeah?
Man, pretty... I feel like we're not well positioned to ask the hard-hitting questions. But I also don't think Chris is necessarily... the person to ask the hard-hitting questions, right?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, like, I don't think there is no truth to what has been put out there.
Yeah.
And I think that they are probably it's not a show, but I think it's definitely like a dictatorship would create some kind of environment, maybe like he's describing. Maybe that is what a dictatorship does.
Yeah.
It makes it seem like everything is fucking running smoothly because no one wants to step out of line. Yeah. Then you just...
Like, you know, the Daily Talk Show. Like, you, no one knows the fear that I drum into you every single day. Guys, if you've got an interesting guest that you think we should... If you've got an interesting contact and you think that would be a sick guest,
yeah,
please send us an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. Because we're always looking out. We had Craig Harper on. We've had some great guests.
Onwards and upwards.
Yep. Daily Talk Show, everyone. Thanks for listening.